Welcome to the Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're an industry pro, you're building, or you're buying, we got you covered here at the Home Building Hero. We're coming to you live today from the LP Studios here in Wisconsin. I'm your host, David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. Thank you for tuning in today. Today's topic, hidden items in your blueprints you should look out for. Hey guys, thank you once again for tuning in to the Home Building Hero. And this is a topic that was actually inspired by you, the listeners. Recently, I've gotten some emails from people that are building houses all throughout the country. And this was a suggestion from one of our listeners. So thank you so much for the suggestion. I really appreciate it. One of the best things about this podcast is I get to help you guys, the listeners, and improve your building experience. And one thing that is unfortunate in the building industry is that builders, contractors don't always have really good customer service skills. They're not great at communicating. And a lot of times they just want to build a house and get it done and get on with the next one. And that leaves a lot of dissatisfaction out there for customers because things get overlooked, things get missed, and it's way more expensive to add things later. So this podcast especially is for somebody that's about to build a home or maybe just starting the building process. And this is here to help you guys identify some things to look at your blueprints before you approve them with the builder. And most of the time, you do get an opportunity if you're building from scratch to review and sign off on the home plans. So this is a very critical phase for you to make sure that you don't miss anything that's really important in your next home. So before I get into the topic and the content, one quick suggestion for you guys. If you guys have other ideas or things that you want to learn from me, shoot me an email. This is how this content sometimes gets created, is I don't always know what you're looking for. So shoot me an email, homebuildinghero@yahoo.com. Again, homebuildinghero, all one word, @yahoo.com with any topic suggestions, and I will definitely take them under consideration. All right, let's talk about the blueprints because, like I said, this is a critical phase when you're building your home. This is the phase where it's really inexpensive to add things, and it can make a huge difference in your overall satisfaction of your home. And if you miss something and don't realize it until later in the construction process, it can not only delay your home by quite a bit, but it can get very, very expensive. So I've created a list of some items that you want to review when you're finalizing your home plans. So typically you sign a contract with your builder with a bunch of changes. The builder will incorporate those changes into a set of home plans and then have you sign off on them. Now, if the builder is good and patient, they'll let you take the blueprints home or send you an electronic copy for you to review for a few days before you come in and sign them. So this is very critical for you to review these items. If your builder does not send that to you or allow you to look at it beforehand, see if you can at least go into their office and have some time to review them on your own before you approve them, because this is very important. All right, let's talk about some things you need to look for. The first thing I would consider when you look at your blueprints is look at all your doors in your home and how they swing. Now, this isn't something you'd probably think of right away, but can be a huge annoyance just simply having the door swing the wrong way. So look and see, is it swing into the room? Does it swing outward? And then what wall does it swing against? Because sometimes those things don't work out really well. And a simple flipping the door from left to right can make a huge difference, or having the door open into the room or pulling it out makes a huge difference. In addition to door swings, also look at closets. People kind of forget this stuff, but a lot of times the majority of closets have the sliding doors. And for some people, they like that because they don't want that door to swing out right against their dresser adjacent to it. So the swing or the sliding doors work well. But a swing door sometimes is a better way to go, because then, especially if you have a double door closet and you have two doors that swing open, now you can open up that whole closet and see all 5 feet or 6 feet of that closet upon viewing. So look at door swings because they can be vital. And the same with your home. Sometimes there's things that just don't work well. Like you get a congested back hallway where you've got a door swinging against another door. Oh, that's a no-no. The other thing you want to look for is if you have a little powder room and the door swings into the powder room and you got one of those elongated bowl toilets, you better hope that thing doesn't hit the front of the toilet because that's going to be very annoying. So that leads into the next item that pertains to doors when you're looking at your blueprint, and that's pocket doors. Now, as a builder, I'll admit I don't love pocket doors, but they do have their place. And powder rooms are one spot that sometimes pocket doors work. There's a plus and a minus to everything, though, and pocket doors are no exception. So, for example, for a pocket door, they can be great if you don't really have a wall that you want to swing that door against. Maybe you're going to put a dresser there. So think of like a bedroom, and maybe that door that you're going to swing into the room might be right where a dresser goes or something like that. That might be a good spot to fit a pocket door. But in order to fit a pocket door in, you're going to need probably 2.5 to 3 feet minimum of empty wall space where that door can slide into. Now there's, you know, that's the advantage is now you can maybe free up that wall space to put furniture against it. But there's a disadvantage too. If you're hanging pictures on a wall where a pocket door is, you're not going to really be able to do that and put a nail on the wall because that nail might inadvertently go through the drywall and into the track or into the door. And the first time you slide that wonderful pocket door into your wall and then you pull the pocket door out and you've got a big ugly scratch on your door. So you have to be very careful with that, making sure that you understand that you can't really install things there. So the other thing to think about is if you've got a pocket door going into a bathroom and then on the other side of the wall of the bathroom, you know, you've got a mirror or you've got a vanity, you got to be very careful. And the builder has to be careful when they're installing things or putting in towel bars that you don't have that pocket door right behind it because you're not going to be able to install anything very easily where that pocket door slides into. And that's also true for outlets and other things. All right, the next thing that you really want to consider when you're looking at your blueprints that's overlooked is your window sizes. Now, a lot of builders lately are getting pretty sneaky about the number of windows they put in their home, and they're putting less and less in, and these open concept plans kind of make it a little easier to cut out some windows. So you're going to want to look, of course, for quantity of windows and things like that, but there's some hidden information on the plan that you probably don't pay attention to, and that's below the window. You'll see some numbers. You might see like 2848. So you might say 2,848. Well, that's not a product number per se. Some windows do use that as a product number. That actually is the size of the window. So when you look at the window, the 28 would be the width and the 48 would be the height. Okay? So you can kind of tell that that's a 2'4" window width-wise. That's 4 feet tall. Now you know about the size of the glass. Now you could take a tape measure just to kind of visualize how big that would be. And it's not very expensive to up the size of the window in most cases, I should say. So you want to look at that. And then the other thing you want to look at besides the window size is to look and see what type of window it is. A lot of people don't pay attention to this, but is it, if it says like SH behind it, that stands for single hung. If it says DH, that stands for double hung, not designated hitter, for you baseball fans out there. SH, a single hung window, means that the top panel is fixed and the bottom panel slides up and down. Double hung means both panels, the top panel and the bottom panel, both slide up and down. So keep that in mind. Some people don't mind single hungs. Other people want double hungs throughout. If you see, you know, that four-digit number with a dash and a C, that could stand for casement window, which means that's a crank-out window with the little window crank on it. If there's no symbol behind it, it might be a picture window, which means it's not operable at all. So look at that and pay attention to it. And like I said, sometimes it's not very expensive to up a size of a window. For example, if you wanted to go from a 48 to, let's say, a 56-inch high window, it might only cost you $50 to $75 per window to do that. That's not very expensive, but sometimes that extra 6 inches of glass really brings a lot more light in, especially if you're in a great room or something and you add that 6 inches, or you add a foot more glass and you've got three windows there. Wow, that can make a huge difference. So pay attention to that. If you like a lot of light and want a lot of natural light, look at those window sizes and make sure that you're getting enough glass in there. And then you can also talk with your builder about the placement of the window. So maybe you do put in a taller window on the back wall of your home, and all of a sudden you're going to put a sofa there. Well, you may want to move that bottom height of that window up just a couple inches so that your sofa is not blocking all that extra glass that you put in, assuming that you have enough ceiling height. So that's something you're going to have to work out directly with your builder or your architect, but definitely look at that. The next thing to look at is window placement. Where are you putting these windows? Okay. I blew this on my house. I've been living in it for 20 years, and it was a complete overlook on my part. I am in a lot that is surrounded by trees. And so my house is generally kind of dark because I have woods all around my house. For some reason, in my family room, I have beautiful tall windows on the back wall. They're gorgeous. I love them. It's one of the great features about my home. But on the side of the home, I don't have any windows on the side of my home. I have a fireplace there. For probably $500, I could have put one casement window on the side of my home, and it would have brought in so much natural light. Plus, I would have been able to see all the cool wildlife that comes into my yard when they run from the back of the home around to the side of the home. Now I have to leave my family room, walk all the way over to the front of the home into the den, and peek out the one little window I put there to look. So look at window placement. Consider adding an extra window here or there, especially if there's a side that doesn't have any. And take advantage, especially if you have some nice views. Now, if you have a neighbor's home 10 feet away from yours or 20 feet away from yours, or there's a road right next to the one side of the home, you maybe don't want to have that extra window because it's going to bring in noise. It's not really going to be anything you want to look at. But when you have a nice lot, make sure that you've got plenty of glass. That extra window also gives you that extra airflow. I would love to have that just to open that window once in a while to get cross air ventilation. So window placement is a huge thing. And, consider adding an extra window here or there. But you do have to be careful because you add too many windows and then your heating efficiency will drop. And you may have to do some other adjustments to make sure that it meets code. So just be aware of that. Okay, so we talked about doors, we talked about windows. Let's talk about outlets. Outlets are another big thing. Your blueprint will generally show outlets. Now, that is not the Bible. And what I mean by that is this. That's a generally recommended plan for outlets to meet code. A lot of times, the electrician will adjust the outlet placement for a variety of reasons. Maybe there's a heating trunk in the way. Maybe the stud placement isn't exactly where the outlet is. So those are not always exact, but it is a good idea to put in extra outlets when you want them on the blueprint. And it's a lot cheaper to do it right away than later. And so consider some little things. Like, think about how you're going to live in the home for a minute. Like, think of pulling out that vacuum cleaner and how far you're going to run that vacuum. And of course, the stupid vacuum cleaner manufacturer, yeah, I called you stupid, sorry. But your cords are always about 3 feet too short, aren't they? And it's annoying, right? You're almost about to finish vacuuming the room, and you're like, oh, crap, now I got to unplug it, got to plug it in over here just to finish the room. So consider that. Like, if you've got a long, like, 40-foot hallway, and there's one outlet in there, you're probably not going to be real happy with that. So maybe look at adding another outlet, moving the other one down, just so you have, plenty of outlets to connect in with. A lot of people now are plugging in those little portable Wi-Fi boosters, so an extra outlet in a long hallway is huge because you might need to put a little booster in there. So look at outlets. Consider floor outlets. If you've got a big family room, think of where you're going to place your furniture and make sure that you put a floor outlet in there in case you're going to put a lamp and a table there. Heck, put a floor outlet in under where your sofa goes. A lot of people are getting those fancy, electronic sofas with the recliners, or they put speakers into the sofas now if you're doing those Lovesac things. And you might need power to those devices. Heck, put an outlet under the sofa just so you can run a little charging cord up for your phone or your tablet. Outlets are huge, so look at floor outlets in bigger rooms. Consider putting an extra outlet in a den, especially if you're going to put a desk in there. Typically, that one double outlet, you know, the two plugs, isn't going to be enough for your desk. And also, you're putting in power strips and things like that. Consider either adding an additional outlet or putting in what they call a fourplex outlet, which has, you know, four prongs in it, by a desk area, just so you have plenty of space to plug in all your things. And when in doubt, add a couple extra. Outlets aren't really that expensive. They're, what, $45, maybe $50, $60 tops early on to put them in. They can be $100 or $150, heck, even $250 later if you're putting it in after drywall. So add extra outlets early, and don't be afraid, because that's a small investment that can go a long way towards your satisfaction of your home. Heck, even consider potentially in a closet, putting an outlet in a closet. I've done it. I'm so glad I did. I have a cat. We used an electronic litter box for a while. I was able to plug that right in the closet. But you can also sometimes put it up high on a shelf, and maybe you put your devices in there to charge. A lot of times, too, if you put one up high, again, if you're going to put a Wi-Fi booster in there or something, or if you have some electronics, like sometimes people do stereos and things, you can put that in there and then have that signal, you know, Bluetooth through the house, and then it's hidden. So really consider outlets and their placement. Even maybe putting an outlet up high by a window, because they have those electronic shades. Again, you could also have the wire just hidden in the wall and not even put the outlet plate there, but just then take a picture of it. So later, if you ever do put an electronic shade, they can, you know, just pop the wire through the wall and connect up the power. So look at outlet and placement to make sure you have plenty. The next thing you want to look at are room openings. Now, this is often overlooked because most people just don't think about it. But let's say you have a dinette going into a family room. Especially in older homes, a lot of times they'll bring those kind of walls from the left and the right side into the room. And maybe you've got an opening there. Now, typically there'll be a number under that opening, and it might say 6-0. Well, that means that's a 6-foot, 0-inch opening. Or you might say 6-6, 6-foot, 6-inch opening. So consider that and say, is that big enough? Is that wide enough? Now, if you like open and you want to see everything and you want a lot of light to go through the home, you don't care about sound as much, you may want to increase the size of those openings. Now, you have to check with your builder and make sure there's no structural impacts there or plumbing lines going through there. But a lot of times, you can adjust the size of those openings to create more of a spacious feel. Conversely, if you want more of a quiet home, you want more privacy, you may want to look at maybe reducing the size of those openings slightly. That would also give you more room for furniture placement. So consider the window openings. Take a look at that. Look at that dimension on the plan and see if that's enough. And again, just get a tape measure and just stretch it out on the floor so you can kind of visually see how big that is and is that feel large enough for you. The next thing you want to look at is ceiling heights. People overlook this all the time, and most homes nowadays have multiple ceiling heights, especially ranches. This is really important. And a lot of times it'll say that right on the blueprint. It might be in the middle of the room or something like that. And if you see dashed lines with a number underneath it, and then you see another dashed line in the same room, you might have two different ceiling heights. So you can look at that and you might see, hey, the middle of this room has 11-foot ceiling height, and on the edge of the room, it only has a 9-foot ceiling height or a 10-foot ceiling height. So you can see where the ceiling breaks and how that ceiling height is. And pay attention to that, because especially in ranches, you might have that where the living room has a 10-foot ceiling and the rest of the house has a 9-foot ceiling or an 8-foot ceiling, and you may want to adjust that. And we include 9-foot ceiling standard automatically, but there are some builders that still do 8-foot ceilings. So just consider that, because it is a definite different feel when you have that extra foot of height. Speaking of ceiling heights, you also want to look at the ceiling details. What type of ceiling is it? Is it just a flat ceiling? Is it a step ceiling where it goes up a little bit in the middle? Is it a vaulted ceiling where it angles up and then flattens off? Is it a cathedral ceiling where it looks like a church peak where it's a peak in the middle? Is it a tray ceiling where there's like a square in the middle of the ceiling with angles coming down? That's a tray ceiling. Look at the plan and see what's there. And you may need some builder architect help there. Like, for example, let's say you put a sunroom on the back of the home. Okay, that's cool. If the sunroom is jutting out on the back of the home all by itself, you can probably put a taller ceiling there. Some builders will just run a flat ceiling straight across that room. Okay, well, that's okay, but if you've got the roof height there, you may want to vault that ceiling and have that extra feeling of space. So look at those ceiling details. It makes a huge difference. All right, now we're going to move to the basement. So for you folks that live down in the south, my friends from Louisiana, Texas, Arizona, you guys know, we talk all the time, right? You guys don't have basements. So maybe this wouldn't apply to you, but to my friends up here in Illinois, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Indiana, all those kind of places, we put in basements in our home. And basements, of course, get finished. Maybe not right away, but down the road. It is really, really expensive later on to bust up concrete and put drains and things in or adjust drainage in basements. So you should take a look at that. And I highly suggest, even if you're not going to finish the basement right away, but you think maybe you might finish the basement in the future, look at the placement of the drains in the basement. Look at the general location of the furnace, the floor drain, those kind of things. Those can be adjusted slightly. Ideally, the furnace should go in the middle of the home because it's a forced air device and it's going to push air more evenly throughout the whole home if it's in the middle. But sometimes if you can move it just a few feet left or right, it can create a better space. So either if you have access to the blueprints, make a copy of it or get an extra copy of the foundation plan and sketch up a couple different potential layouts for your basement. If you don't feel skilled at all to do that, see how much the builder would charge to just draw up an initial plan for the basement finish. It can be super helpful, and it'll also give you an idea. If you're going to add a bathroom, you may want to invest in putting in the future drains for the bathroom in the concrete right away, but know where you're going to put it. So get that layout and then have them put the drains in. Now, we include that automatically with our homes, but not all builders do. That is super, super inexpensive to put in right away, under $500 to do it up front. If you have to bust up the concrete, you could be looking at $2,000-$4,000 easily just to bust up the concrete for some drains for a bathroom. Likewise for a bar, if you're going to put a bar in, consider where you're going to locate it and make sure that you put a rough-in drain for that bar. Also look at the beams in the basement. Look for any drops in the ceiling so that you understand what your ceiling heights are going to be in the basement. Ideally, if you have the money and the budget, go for a 9-foot basement versus an 8-foot. That gives you a lot more ceiling height to work with and will also allow a little extra space for those mechanicals. But if it's not in the budget, you know, be very cautious about your ceiling heights in your basement. And then if you do have any egress windows, make sure that those are placed in a spot where you would potentially add a bedroom. So they're not just great for light, but if you do want a legal and a code bedroom, you're going to want to have those egress windows in the room that you're going to consider a future bedroom. And again, try and sketch out a layout for your basement. Sometimes you can also ask the builder too. If they've done a rough layout for it, they can actually show it on the blueprint and they'll put it in dashed lines and say future finished basement. A lot of times too, they can put a note on the plan that'll say, future living room. And that helps the trades know like, hey, I can't be willy-nilly with my mechanical placement. I can't push this thing over 6 more inches because I'm going to start to mess up their finished basement. That is actually very helpful because unfortunately, builders, trades, everybody, we're not mind readers. As much as we love to be and as much as you think we are, we're not mind readers. So the more information that we can put on the plan right away will make it a lot easier for us when we're building it to accomplish the mission of the home and get it the way you want it. All right, guys, there are your tips that you need to look for, the hidden things that you should be looking at when you're reviewing your home plans. I hope you guys found this super, super helpful. And again, if you have something that you think you want help with, if you want information that you would love for me to provide on this podcast, shoot me an email, homebuildinghero@yahoo.com. I would love to provide that information for you guys. Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Home Building Hero, broadcasting live from the Bellman Home Studio. If you haven't already, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Until next time, I'm David Bellman, signing off.